Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. You're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Dewan Rakyat today passed the constitutional amendment aimed at discouraging political defections. The constitutional amendment bill to introduce the anti-party hopping law was passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. 209 MPs voted in favour and none against, far exceeding the two-thirds requirement. But commentators say the bill is not without its imperfections. Will it prove enough if and when it's put to the test? Joining us on the show tonight is UMNO MP for Pengerang, Datuk Sri Azlina Uthman Said. She is one of the chief proponents of the bill and a member of the Parliamentary Select Committee which reviewed the bill. Datuk Sri, thank you for joining us today. Congratulations on being part of this constitutional amendment, seeing it pass today in Dewan Rakyat. What do you expect to be the impact of this bill to Malaysian politics?
Well, I think, as I mentioned my debate yesterday, that this is a political resetting for our country. I think, we have always believed that the members of parliament do have the independence to move according to whatever they want to do based on the fact that they do have such immunity in the Dewan. But I think basically what we're trying to do now is with this law, you have a more of a level playing field. Yes, I know it's not perfect, but as you've heard all the debates yesterday and today, that this is the start. This is the start for me personally as a political resetting, that everybody must agree that there are certain rules and regulation, and especially, as I mentioned also, on the commitment to the voters out there. Because I believe that our voters, you know, although the communication between or the relationship between the elected representative and the voters are usually based on the time of election, but with this, I believe that the voters know that, you know, this is what they choose, this is what they get, and I think they should be more assured that with the coming general election, or the 15th general election, that they would be given more confidence and commitment and transparency and accountability. That's what I hope for personally.
Datuk Sri, you have been a strong proponent of a recall mechanism. Are recall elections still on the cards?
Well, you know, I'm not going to stop just because the law has been passed. Because if you recall some of the points of debate, is that some of the MPs are raising questions about expulsion, especially from political parties. And as you know, again, on Section 18 of the Society Act, that there is an ouster clause for most political parties, as in big parties like mine. And of course, the other side of the balancing is that such ouster clause do cause certain draconian policies by political parties that some of the MPs were raising. Like, for example, constructive termination, or even by the MPs themselves wanting to cross the floor. So I always believe that the recall mechanism would definitely be able to give back the voice to the people to make that decision on whether they want that elected representative to stay or to go, and not really to wait for the seat to be dropped automatically. That's what I have in mind, yeah.
Okay. Well, you also mentioned in your debate that, if I may quote you, you said your greatest fear is that there will be some state governments that decide not to adopt the amendment of the law. Now, when you say that this will create a level playing field, it may not be so at the state level. Datuk Sri, this is a legitimate concern. What can be done to ensure that states adopt this?
Well, of course, the political parties in Parliament itself, representing some state government, as you know, some of the MPs do have a big say in their own political parties that is running state government, must give such commitment. Like, for example, for my party, where we are running the state of Pahang, Johor and Melaka, my president of my party has been consistent by saying that, you know, we insist on the state to follow suit. But the fact that the Article 10 has been amended as an enabling article, so there's no reason for such states not to move towards that direction. I think basically what we are looking at is consistency between the state representative and the federal representative. It's like, as I mentioned, you have a big imbalance. Because of the way the system works in our country, although the federal government, obviously the federal legislature and the constitution itself can have a spillover policy, but the state itself has its own independence to accept and adopt such federal law. And I think it would be much better if it's been done consciously and consistently by all the elected representatives of the state as a commitment, is what happens today with the 209, as a full commitment of support, bipartisan, multi-party, even from those that jump. I think that's as I mentioned, a political reset for our political culture.
All right, Dato' Azlina, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Dato' Sri Azlina Uthman Said, MP for Pengerang, former Deputy Speaker of Dewan Raya and longtime proponent of the anti-party hopping law. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned.
Kekalkan kekuatan dan tenaga supaya ceria dan cergas buat apa yang kita suka. Pilihlah Nutrien Optimum dengan protein whey untuk membantu membina dan membaiki tisu badan serta pre dan probiotik. Nutrien Optimum terdapat di kedai berdekatan.
Suatu hari nanti, anda pasti ada idea.
Saya ada idea
yang merubah segalanya. Kamilah PUNB dan kami sentiasa bersama untuk membantu perniagaan anda berkembang maju. Nampak tak? Bukan setakat menyediakan pembiayaan, kami juga memberi anda kepakaran untuk mengembangkan perniagaan anda. Pengubahsuaian, inovasi produk, pemasaran, penjualan, pengedaran, perakanan dan seterusnya, penguasaan global.
Bagusnya.
Inilah PUNB.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We're discussing the scope and impact of the anti-party hopping law that was passed in Dewan Raya today. Joining us now is Nik Nazmi Nik Ahmad. He's the PKR MP for Setiawangsa. Nazmi, congratulations on seeing this constitutional amendment passed. I'm glad to see that it received such strong bipartisan support. But I'm just wondering whether you think this bill goes far enough in its current iteration to stop political defections from happening in the future?
There are obviously a few aspects that, different parties believe we can improve based on the bill that has been passed. But overall, I mean, the fact that this is a constitutional amendment, we need the 2/3 majority to get it through. I think it's still a positive step in the right direction to at least, give voters a sense that they are in control and they can decide when a legislator decides to cross over to a different party.
Okay, well, one of the interesting things about this bill is that it doesn't cover a scenario if a political party were to switch coalition. So lawmakers or parties that quit a coalition to form another will not be required to vacate their seats. In theory, another Sheraton move could happen. Are you satisfied with that not being included in the definition?
Yeah, well, I think that is a concern. I mean, it is a legitimate concern, but I guess there has to be room for political parties to decide, what path they want to take. So, finding the balance is difficult. The bill that has been passed, it gives a lot more leeway to the political party per se in making a decision. I agree that it is a bit controversial, and maybe in the future it's something we need to look at.
Well, one of the concerns that was raised by Lim Guan Eng today was that the bill does not apply to MPs who are sacked, so only applies to MPs who switch on their own accord. If it's in the party constitution that the MP can be sacked for voting contrary to the party line, then he or she won't lose their seat. Can you clarify, does such a clause exist in the PKR constitution? Can PKR MPs vote against the party in Dewan Rakyat without being sacked?
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you look at the Westminster system, I think that's where we have to be really careful, you know, where I agree that there has to be a bit of party discipline. Obviously, on matters like the Sheraton move, I would say that's clear cut where parties, you know, when parties take a decision and all that, you know, how MPs should abide by it. But even in other Westminster traditions, the UK, for example, they distinguish between a three-line way where MPs are expected to vote with the party with the penalty of not voting with the party being sacked, or a single-line whip where they have some leeway. You know, I'm talking about backbench MPs who are not ministers or deputy ministers. So I think it's something that we really have to strike a balance, because we now see a developing whip system in Malaysia where MPs want to vote certain things on conscience and whatnot. So that balance must be struck, you know, properly, so that parties also do not get too much control, and it totally destroys the individual ability of MPs.
Right. Well, one of the other things in the bill is that MPs who won as independents will be prohibited from joining any party. I'm just wondering, Nazmi, whether you think the reasons for political defections matter. Are, you know, so-called mitigating factors taken into consideration? You know, for instance, unequal allocations for MPs who are not with the ruling coalition. I mean, there are MPs who argue that, you know, switching political allegiances is the best way to get or to serve their constituents. Do you think that it should be taken into consideration?
Yes, I raised that when I debated in favor of the bill yesterday. So I think currently, I mean, previously only government MPs get allocations. And then what has happened is that since the MOU was signed between Pakatan Harapan and the government, all those who signed the MOU get equal allocation. So I think, you know, we should just put a stop to that. And everyone who are elected by their voters, regardless of their party or whether they support or the MOU or not, they should all get the allocation. So, you know, we would put an end to that. And you know, because we do not see the allocation as something that is part of the political patronage for the Prime Minister to give to whoever he or she wants. And, you know, some of the suggestion that has been made is that instead of being part of the Prime Minister's allocation, that should actually come from whenever we introduce an independent parliamentary services commission. So that's the best way to go forward. And I think, you know, we really should take stock of what we can do better in terms of MP allocation.
Do you think that this legislation going forward will restore confidence in voters? Hopefully it will come into force before the next general elections. Do you think this will encourage voters who are apathetic, who are disenfranchised, or who have lost confidence in the Malaysian democratic system? Do you think this will encourage them to exercise the democratic right?
Well, no, I think as I, you know, before the show started, I was telling you that I just came back from a wedding, you know, so they were all talking about this. So I think, you know, there is some positive feedback coming from the bill. And the fact that it was unanimous, even those who jumped and actually turned up to vote, actually voted for the bill. So, I mean, in that sense, you know, I think people realize that, you know, where the wind is blowing, which is positive. But obviously, you know, the task of us as legislators is to make the case, because you know, people will, some people will continue to be cynical, so on and so forth. And I think legislation, I mean, obviously we took some examples of what the countries have done, but it will we will really see how effective it is when it's actually tested, right? So I think that's where the loopholes will be more exposed, all the lacunas that exist in the legislation. But anyway, you know, we really have to make the case for it. And I think especially for those who are the new voters 18 years and above and the automatic voters who came in through the new legislation that we passed before. So I think it's very crucial that we make the case and convince them that has happened, especially not just post-Sheraton move, but even in the Pakatan Harapan era where we saw many UMNO MPs were induced or pressured to join Bersatu, you know, that we are putting a stop to that. Then I think we will be able to convince the voters.
Thank you so much. Nik Nazmi, Nik Ahmad, PKR MP for Setiabangsa. Another quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back.
Suatu hari nanti, anda pasti ada idea.
Saya ada idea
yang merubah segalanya. Kamilah PUNB dan kami sentiasa bersama untuk membantu perniagaan anda berkembang maju. Nampak tak? Bukan setakat menyediakan pembiayaan, kami juga memberi anda kepakaran untuk mengembangkan perniagaan anda. Pengubahsuaian, inovasi produk, pemasaran, penjualan, pengedaran, perakanan dan seterusnya, penguasaan global.
Bagusnya.
Inilah PUNB.
COVID-19 memperlihatkan kepada kita betapa pantasnya adaptasi teknologi di kalangan PKS kita. Niaga Awani dan Unified Business akan menyelami perjalanan kebangkitan semula PKS kita melalui segmen GWSME setiap Selasa dan Khamis untuk inspirasi anda.
Transformasikan perniagaan dengan Unified Business, rakan digital pilihan anda. Hubungi kami sekarang dan jimat sehingga 50%. Jom Unified Business.
Saya Rashid Siddiq. Saya kekal bertenaga dengan Milo High Fiber baharu. Tinggi serat, hanya lebih kurang setengah sudu kecil gula. Rasa coklat Milo digemari yang berkhasiat untuk berani terus melangkah. Milo High Fiber baharu. Cubalah hari ini.
What's the latest scoop when it comes to companies, markets and strategies? For everything business and tech related, catch Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani, weekdays 10:30 PM across all Awani platforms.
Hi, I'm Melissa Idris. Thanks so much for staying with me on Consider This. Aira Azhari joins us now. She is the Senior Manager of the Democracy and Governance Unit for the think tank Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known by its acronym, IDEAS. Aira, what are your thoughts on this, on the impact of Dewan Rakyat finally passing the Constitutional Amendment Bill for the anti-party hopping law to come into force?
Hi, Melissa. As with any other bill or amendment in Malaysia, I just wish there was more time for the MPs to deliberate and to really ask questions on the details of the bill. I followed some of the debates after Dato' Sri Wan Junaidi gave his speech, and I could see that you know, many of the MPs had a lot of questions. We're not too sure, you know, asking what if this situation happens, that situation happens. But, you know, as with our parliamentary sittings in Malaysia, there is just not enough time. So I just wish there was more time. But I understand that there is also a great urgency on the government side to sort of get this over the finish line. And yeah, I think that's always that tricky balance. But also, I probably disagree a bit with YB Nik Nazmi, what he said earlier. I think that you know, there is a great satisfaction, I think, amongst many Malaysians that this law has, this amendment has finally been passed, because, you know, Malaysians have still hasn't gotten over the trauma, I suppose, of the Sheraton move. And I think this is a quick win, I suppose, to sort of, you know, tell Malaysians, like, look, we're trying to do something about that. And now we've got this passed. So hopefully, you know, we have slightly better stability going into the next election. So yeah, that's how I've been feeling today.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Law Minister Wan Junaidi was only given 40 minutes to kind of give his wrap up or to reply to all the debates before a vote was called. So not much time. He said that he was going to answer some of these questions in writing. Do you think that an imperfect anti-party hopping law is better than no anti-party hopping law?
Yes, I would agree with that. But on the condition that, you know, there will be opportunities in the future to not only improve on these amendments, but also to introduce more wholesale reforms to our political system, right? So we all know that Dato' Sri Azalina, who was a guest today, actually wanted to table a recall elections bill. And, you know, I still believe that that is the more democratic way of deterring party hopping in Malaysia. So, you know, I hope that there will be room for that in the future. I understand, you know, that requires a lot more debates, consideration, and also, you know, budget on the government side. I also would like to see, you know, reforms in terms of the Parliamentary Services Act and, of course, the Political Financing Act. We all know that, you know, a big part of why MPs jump from one party to another, a lot of the incentive is money, right? So money politics needs to be tackled in order for this problem to, you know, actually be solved at its root cause. So I really hope to see this in the future. And the reason why anti-hopping was sort of, you know, done very quickly besides the MOU is because there was just so much demand from the public. So we need that kind of demand from the Malaysian public for the politicians to listen and for them to pay attention and to take this seriously. So I really hope that these further reforms will be institutionalized not too long from now. Yeah.
You said that the Malaysian public is still quite traumatized at the disruption of the Sheraton move and what that did to the political landscape. The bill itself doesn't actually, in theory, prevent another Sheraton move from happening again, because it does not cover when coalitions between coalitions. Ira, do you think that there are loopholes that might be tested when a defection does happen? Are there concerns that this bill may not be robust enough to weather those potential defections?
Yes, I agree that you know, one of the gaps that the law, this current amendment, does not cover is what happens if an entire party pulls out of a coalition, which is what happened during Sheraton move, which then led the Prime Minister then to resign. So yes, you are right, the law doesn't cover that. I'm not sure why. There must have been, you know, some political reasons there. For me, the long-term solution to that would be Malaysia probably needs to explore a system where we don't have pre-election coalitions, right? And then after the elections, then parties negotiate and come together to form a coalition. I'm not sure if that is feasible in our current political climate. Parties know that they wouldn't win enough seats if they contest individually. But again, you know, that is a test of democracy, right? If everyone can contest as individual parties, you know, get votes according to their the demographics they're targeting, and then after the elections come together and form a coalition, then, you know, that is another way to sort of tackle this problem where parties come together pre-elections, you know, in a marriage of convenience, and then when they win elections, they realize that they have nothing in common, and then, you know, it breaks up, resulting in the fall of the entire government. So that is what we don't want, right? So that is what we need to tackle. So but I'm not sure how it can be done through a law, to be honest. I think that there needs to be a fundamental change in our political system, in our electoral system, for such a problem, for us to prevent such a problem from occurring again.
Thank you, Ira, for joining us on the show tonight. Ira Azhari of Ideas, they're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.